We're less than a week past the point where we found out the Wizards were going to get the number one overall pick. Still a little bit of a celebration. Still a little bit of a high, you know. All that young, up-and-coming talent and building around it and saying, well, if you could just get that number one pick in the 2026 NBA draft. And here we are. Chase Hughes, Monumental Sports, jumps on with me now. Nick Ashew on the Team 980. I guess now, I know you've already been out there. You've watched workouts, Chase. You've seen a lot. But has it kind of set in at this point, like all the leading up to, all of the hype, all of the praying that the basketball gods would let the ping pong balls fall in the Wizards' favor? Has it settled in at least at this point, like, oh, we're talking about the number one pick for this team in a really loaded draft?
I'm almost all the way there. I still kind of remind myself, wow, the Wizards won the first overall pick. And, you know, not just getting the first pick, but in this draft, it seems just so fortuitous, so lucky for them, especially at this point in their rebuild, the way it could vault them forward. And now we just got to wait and see for a consensus to form on who will be the number one pick, because right now I think it's really up in the air.
And it does definitely feel up in the air. And, you know, listen, if you look at roster construction alone, it kind of feels like A.J. DeBonsa fits more with the Wizards. Darren Peterson fits a little bit more with the Jazz at the number two pick. I know there's workouts still in interviews. There's so much more to go with at this point. But, you know, just from you and just seeing these two players, seeing the roster, seeing where they fit, do you have a gut? Do you have just sort of a maybe if you were drafting the direction you would go? I know there's a lot of moving parts, but there is so much hype around these two guys that I kind of feel like either way you go is like both these guys deserve to be a number one overall pick.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, I think it's really close. I honestly think it's 50-50 at this point. At first, I thought it was DeBonsa. Obviously, he killed it at the combine, put up unbelievable measurement numbers. But the more I talked to people there, there were a lot of people who say that they think that the Wizards also like Peterson. So I think they're going to take their time to make this decision. You know, I would still give DeBonsa probably a slight edge. I mean, he's the number one pick on most mock drafts. And then you see what he did at the combine. And I always tell people through experience, like, don't make too much of vertical leap. Like, look at all the best players in the NBA nowadays. With the exception of Anthony Edwards, they don't play above the rim. They don't jump super high. Like, it's not the 80s or the 90s anymore. But when a guy is basically 6'9 without shoes and has a 42-inch vertical leap, I'm starting to think, like, how many players after LeBron and Wemby would you list as better, just like freak athletes that have gone into the draft this century? Like, I think he's in that conversation. So it's hard to imagine a team could pass on A.J. DeBonsa, but this is the year where he might not even go number one.
Which is just, yeah, I mean, it just shows the level of talent that's here. All right, so obviously that's one advantage that DeBonsa has, just the sheer athleticism alone. When you look at Darren Peterson, what's something that really stands out to you where you say, like, that would be massive for the Wizards?
His ability to be an offensive engine. I think DeBonsa can do a lot off the dribble. I think his dribble package for his size is incredible. But I think Peterson profiles as a guy that you could run your offensive round as a lead guard. I don't think it's going to happen early on. He says he's more comfortable playing point guard, that he's always played point guard, that it wasn't until he got to Kansas where Bill Self put his hand on his shoulder and said, look, buddy, you're going to play the two to help us to win. But his ability to get past people off the dribble, shoot off the dribble from three, I think that does project long-term as a guy that you could run your offense through. Like, you know, maybe if the Wizards drafted him, it's Trae Young for a couple years. And then, you know, Darren Peterson is the heir apparent. He's just going to have to develop the point guard skills to play at the NBA level, you know, protecting the ball. He's got to improve his passing vision. His passing numbers were not great at Kansas last year. So I think that would be his biggest selling point. And related to that, just the first step, the way he can get past people so easily to break down the defense and the shooting threes off the dribble, those things are really enticing when you think of what plays in the NBA nowadays.
When you look at teams, you know, and specifically the Wizards, but, you know, the Jazz are in the spot too, and I kind of look at them with the top two picks since we're talking so much to DeBonsa and Peterson here. Like, would you focus more on best player and talent, or would it be roster construction and best fit? You know what I mean? Because, like, DeBonsa kind of fits a little bit more with what the Wizards have, but then there's the certain upsides that Darren Peterson has as well. Which direction would you lean if you had to weigh one of those?
Best player available, 1,000 times out of 1,000. Yeah. I think you have to play that game when you're picking this high in the draft. for Exhibit A, I'll point to Dylan Harper with the San Antonio Spurs right now. Bill Simmons and all the national media, they're talking about, oh, this guy could be a superstar. He could be first-team All-NBA. Okay, well, what if the Spurs were like, you know what? We like him, but we already have De'Aaron Fox and Stephon Castle. They wouldn't look very smart right now, although there were a few decent backup plans in that particular class. But I could go on, I could give you hours of examples of it going both ways. You know, Vlade Divac just recently said that one of the reasons why they passed on Luka Doncic was because they already had a point guard in 2018. They already had De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox is an All-NBA point guard. That was a franchise-changing, catastrophic mistake. The other end of it, the Golden State Warriors, when they drafted Steph Curry, they didn't need a scoring guard. Monte Ellis, I'm sure you remember him. You're a ball knower.
Oh, yeah.
He was a really good guard, about the same size as Steph Curry. They also had Jamal Crawford. I've looked this up recently, and they overlooked that and said, you know what, why don't we take a chance on the guy from Davidson who can make threes at a really high rate? And the result was a dynasty. So I'm not exaggerating. A lot of the biggest mistakes that have ever been made in NBA draft history, the most famous one is Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan when the Blazers thought they needed a center. It usually comes down to a team being too deferential to position over best player available.
God, I forgot Jamal Crawford was on that Warriors team, too. You're right. Yeah. And I'm with you, by the way, Chase. I think best player available, especially when you're just trying to kind of build the core and figure out who's going to be there long term and who, you know, where the positions fit. I absolutely think that that's the right choice. Talking to Chase Hughes here, after one and two, DeBonsa Peterson, there's... It feels like the consensus is Cameron Boozer is going to be three, barring something crazy or a trade, going to the Grizzlies at three. Cameron Boozer's got a really high floor, high basketball IQ. I mean, he's a 20-10 guy, great passer for a big as well. I think he's got a really high ceiling in the NBA, but, you know, a lot of the conversation becomes like, well, you know, he's not as athletic. I mean, there's some of the best players in the NBA, like you kind of pointed out earlier, Chase, not that athletic. I mean, Nikola Jokic is 7 foot with a dad bod, and he's running up and down the court like it's nothing. So it's like, I don't know, to me, I feel like that's such an overrated knock against Cameron Boozer. Where are you on that?
Oh, I agree. I mean, I go back and forth on him like I think everyone does. You know, the combine results were interesting, a little shorter than I expected, but a big wingspan. And I believe he had the best shuttle run of all the top prospects. So we were, you know, anyone who's watched him, I think a lot of people have pointed out, I don't know about the lateral quickness. Well, I mean, he proved at the combine in that drill that he can move pretty well laterally. You know, I think if he's to become a star at the next level, the shooting will have to translate. He was a really good shooter in college. I mean, among the top prospects in this draft, he is the most efficient player, right? I mean, he shot well over 50% from the field, 39% from three on four attempts per game. That's really good for a big man. And what impresses me is that he's 253 pounds and he plays bully ball, but he's got just such soft touch around the rim. And I think that bodes really well because what I was saying is, about guys not really you know, having to have great vertical leaps and playing above the rim, you still have to score around the rim. It's very helpful if you can make threes. That's really important. And then you got to be able to get into the paint and score around the rim. And I think he's going to be able to do that without having to jump over people because he'll just, you know, bump into them and then find an angle and with a nice touch shot or a floater or a hook shot, get it in. So I think he's got a higher ceiling than people give him credit for. It's really just a product of this draft where you're talking about him going third or fourth, because I think most other years he'd be talking first or second.
Now, in terms of fourth, the Chicago Bulls, does it feel like Caleb Wilson at this point? Could you see a surprise there at all? Again, all of this is pretending we're not talking about trades at this point either, which could really throw things out of whack.
I honestly think it's very possible that Wilson goes three. You know, the Grizzlies, okay. I think a lot of people have made this point. They love athleticism and defense, and he's the best player of the top four if that's what you like. And if that was the case, then Boozer would fall to four where his father played. His father, of course, was Carlos Boozer, two-time All-Star, played for the Bulls. So that would be kind of cool. But I definitely would not discount some of the other guards. And, you know, I could list a bunch of them because there's really little separating them. But to pick one, I would say Darius Acuff. I think he could definitely go top five because, you know, once Peterson's shooting numbers dropped off in the second half of the season, Acuff just really surged to the end of the year and has a case as the best shooter in the draft. I mean, I think he shot like 44% from three did it off the catch, off the dribble with a lot of focus from the defense. And, you know, John Calipari doesn't bat 1,000 in the draft, but he's put a lot of star guards into the NBA. And Acuff next. You know, you kind of got to retrain your brain and remember that Calipari doesn't coach in Kentucky anymore. It's at Arkansas. So if he recruits a guy and he's a guard and he's got skills like this, more often than not, that player turns into a really, really good NBA guard.
Is there anybody that you look at in this draft that you feel like could start to jump up draft boards and start to get a little more hype as we get closer?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give you two names. One that, you know, would be perhaps a big rise. That's Tunde Yusufu of Baylor. He's like fringe first and second round, but I don't buy it. I think he's going to go around the top 20. We'll see how many of these guys stay in the draft, by the way. There's a lot of uncertainty in that range. But he was a McDonald's All-American, one of the best athletes in the draft. People were comparing him to Anthony Edwards after the McDonald's All-American game because he was one of the more exciting players on the court. Really good defender, and there's questions about his offense, but he scored at Baylor. So I think there's a really high ceiling there, and he's got a great motor. And then another guy I would say is Kingston Flemings of Houston. Mm-hmm. He's a lock in the top 10, but I could see him moving up a few spots from where he's currently projected, which I think is the back end of the top 10, because he had a great combine. He shot the ball really well. He measured out a little bit taller than I thought he would at about 6'3 without shoes, 6'2.5 without shoes. And his first step was confirmed at the combine as being pretty special. Like, he is extremely fast. He plays defense very strong, kind of like a Cason Wallace. He said he models his defensive game after him. And you could just tell talking to him that he's going to interview well. He's very enthusiastic, very well-spoken, very humble. And so I've been enjoying watching him all year. I love physical defensive guards who can shoot and who have passing feel, and he checks off all those boxes.
What do you think the chances are we see a star moved before or during the draft, like a Giannis, for example?
I think the chances are pretty good, at least with Giannis. It sounds like there's momentum there, right? We saw the report from ESPN. I really am just fascinated at how this offseason is going to go once the lottery odds are enacted, assuming they are. We've all seen the proposal. We've all weighed in on what we think about it. But what we don't know and what I personally foresee is a ton of domino effects in terms of trade value and also how teams operate this offseason. If you have no incentive to strip your team down to the studs to rebuild anymore, then that's going to change how teams go about the offseason and the types of players that they're interested in. Then first-round picks could take on a completely different level of value now that it's all you need to essentially do is be in the 16-team lottery, and you have a lottery ticket that could cash in with the number one overall pick. So how is that going to affect everything? It's going to be fascinating to watch. I think it's going to be a lot more profound in terms of what it changes than people are giving it credit for.
Yeah, we could have a wild NBA offseason. Chase Hughes, good to talk to you again, buddy. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely, man. Let's do it again.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, you know how the NBA goes, right? It's kind of cyclical, and I feel like it's been way too quiet for way too long, and I feel like this offseason just has this, again, it's harder in free agency to build a team now. We know that the draft lottery is going to certainly be different moving forward, but man, you got some stars' names getting thrown around now, and you know, we'll see what happens in some of these playoff series too. Are there more changes there? I mean, there's a lot to certainly work with here that could cause a lot of movement around the draft, especially if a team decides, you know, I'd rather get another first round pick here and go younger. We've seen it before. You saw it in the NFL. You watched the Giants just do that. I mean, who knows if you'll see a team go that direction too? The Bucks could be in that spot. You got the 10th pick, and then you go another direction and get another earlier pick, and you move Giannis. So, all right, we'll see. We just had the NFL draft, and it's like now we get into the most hyped NBA draft for the next, you know, month plus or whatever that we get to lead up to that. I'm Nick Ashew. Nick Ashew on the Fan and the Team. We're on everywhere today. Matt Nick Ashew on all the socials. You know, I think we got ourselves an offseason coming up in the NBA that's going to be aggressive. There's a lot of Giannis rumors. There's a lot of questions about where LeBron's going to go. Remember, he's a free agent. The NBA, free agency is harder and harder to build around now, but look, I want to play the game, and I know this is mostly a joke, and it's where we have to be careful, because, you know, again, how much I believe in terms of the Jazz wanting to trade up one spot for the number one pick and A.J. Abanza with the Wizards, again, if that rumored trade or that, idea that's getting thrown around about Ace Bailey and, you know, the number two pick and a future first for the Wizards giving up number one. Yeah, I do that in a second. But there's another one that I think is a little more fun that I really don't believe has any merit whatsoever, because you can't just see somebody on Instagram that's like, hey, there's rumors that, because you can say anything is a rumor, right? That's where journalism is dead. It's like, you can just put anything on social media with a faceless account and say that, yeah, here's a meme and here's a jersey swap and it's LeBron James in a Wizards uniform. But there's a level of cleverness to it, if you will, because you know what people are saying, right? What people say is, Jordan was never able to do it. Maybe LeBron can do it. And you know exactly what they're talking about, winning a title in D.C. Now, no. If LeBron James were to come to the Wizards, no, they're not going to win a title because nobody's getting through the Spurs or the Thunder out west anyway. Probably for the next couple of years until we see what some of these teams in the East build up. Maybe at some point.
All it takes is a key injury at a strategic time.
Don't you do it, Metal Chris. Don't you be that guy, because it's, let me tell you something. Let's just play a hypothetical for fun here.
The Patriots made the Super Bowl this year, all right? Come on.
Look, okay, you're right. Injuries aside, if, like, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander missed an entire season, that's maybe a different story, and Wemby missed an entire season. But again, the Thunder don't have Jalen Williams. He's hurt all the time, and yet they still win because they have so much depth. But, okay, that's their MVP. So, you know what? Screw it. Let me play this hypothetical with you, Metal Chris, since you just made this worse. You are the instigator, and I'm going to play this game.
All right.
If LeBron James came to the Wizards and played with, whether it's Darren Peterson or A.J. DeBonta or whoever and the rest of this team, and he came on, again, a deal that they can, again, it'd have to be, I have to look at the salary cap and where they are, because, again, you're going to have a big option for Trae Young, and I don't know how this would work. So we're just playing this. I'm not looking at the numbers. I'm not going to do this smartly. I'm going to do this like a psychopath and just dive right in head first and see what happens. If LeBron James came to D.C. and somehow drag the Wizards to a title next year at 42 years old. Yes, we have completely solidified the argument that officially LeBron James has surpassed Michael Jordan. There is no argument at that point. It's done. But it's not happening.
Are you saying there's even a chance that LeBron James could win the title here next year and Alex Ovechkin could get a second Stanley Cup victory?
The odds of that happening are, I would say, one in a billion. One in a billion that happens.
So
but you know what? I love
there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance. Listen, I like to think that there is a parallel universe somewhere out there where LeBron James is a Wizard and they win an NBA championship and Alex Ovechkin wins another Stanley Cup and then rides off into the sunset. I like to think of that reality.
Do you think Kevin Durant would root for LeBron to win a Wizards championship?
Another good question. Another good question. I don't think he would. Because then I think there's regret. No, here's what Kevin
Durant. I'm not sure he's a Wizards fan. I've always seen him as like a, you know, a Skins and Commanders fan, but I don't know if I don't know that he grew up watching the Wizards or
that's yeah, I don't, because he played basketball, he might have been more just kind of into the NBA and not specifically the Wizards necessarily, but tell you what, there'd be a level of FOMO and jealousy Kevin Durant would have. You know what he'd do? He'd just go to one of his burner accounts and start tweeting about how Jordan's still better than LeBron or whatever. Start making up a bunch of jokes about that. I think that's what we're going to get. Oh, now I'm just thinking about it. LeBron holding up a trophy and celebrating a Wizards title.
On the mall.
This is psychotic. Why are we doing this? Why are we playing this game? Hey, what would be your favorite? I wonder what LeBron's favorite store on the National Mall would be.
Well, it's like all museums and stuff.
No, but do you remember when the Nats did that, or did you not see that video?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay, so you missed that. So that was, people got really mad recently because the Nats social team went up and asked players in the Nationals what their favorite store was at the National Mall.
It's all like food trucks.
Exactly. Well, that's the joke. So most of them aren't from around here and had just gotten here and don't know a lot about D.C.
Yeah.
So they just made stuff up like, oh, like, I don't know, Gucci or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And then people were mad. We're like, this makes the players look bad. I'm like, no, it's funny because these guys aren't from here, so they're not going to know. So
I mean, you could have just gone with like the Air and Space Museum gift shop or something.
Right. Well, that's the thing. There are gift shops there. So technically, there are stores on the National Mall. It's just not those stores on the National Mall. Look, I would love to think of LeBron James playing for the Wizards at the end of his career, and it would just be, because LeBron's got a lot left in the tank, and realistically, wherever he goes, because I don't think he's retiring now, but realistically, wherever LeBron James does end up going, he should have a retirement tour. And I know he's got, you know, again, it's again, I hate saying reports because anything can be anything now, but it's like there's the whole narrative that LeBron doesn't actually want that. LeBron might just retire quietly and just announce it all at once.
No. The guy that did the, what is it, the answer or whatever that thing was? That
Not just the decision, the but decision. Remember, yeah, yeah. There's the report that...
There's no way that guy doesn't want a retirement tour after doing stuff like that.
Think about what happened in the locker room this year where J.J. Redick got the game ball for his 100th career coaching win and LeBron surpassed Kareem for the most games played and LeBron was mad he didn't get it. This guy is incredibly insecure about where his legacy is at this point, and I get it, right? He's seen the twilight of his career. He's seen the league start to move on without him. Who's next after LeBron? And you know, Luka and Austin Reeves are kind of became the 1-2 guys with the Lakers. And yeah, he stepped back to a point and kind of let that happen. But yeah, it's hard on somebody that's been at his level for as long as he's been. There are insecurities there. 0% chance that this guy does not want to have the farewell, we love you tour to go to every city and come to D.C. We can show tribute videos and the crab dribble in the early stages and Gilbert Arenas and all that. I mean, think about how long that goes, by the way. Think about what we're talking about. Gilbert Arenas and that Wizards team up against LeBron and the Cavs. I mean, that's how far back we go, and that's how long he's been in this league. But no, don't tell me for 1 second that LeBron James does not want to have a retirement tour and a farewell celebration. Of course he does.
So here's another possibility that might be completely off your radar and completely out of left field.
I'm in for this. Let's go. What is it?
Do you think he could try like the old like Pete Rose player coach where he just basically is on the team and also running a head coach and eventually just becomes just the coach?
Well, he's already the GM of wherever
he
is.
But, I mean, that's kind of what Pete Rose did at the end of his career. You know, he's playing and then managing and then eventually he's kind of the last player manager.
But where would that be? Where will LeBron
do
that?
Know, but I mean, he could kind of figure that out right now.
He'd have to do that at a team that was just like not looking
to win. You think he'd do that with the Cavs?
That's what I thought. But no, they're not. Here's the thing. Even if the Cavs lose Game 7 tomorrow, Kenny Atkinson's not the guy you fire. I think it's more of the roster construction. And
I know, but
if
LeBron wants someone fired so he'll come back to the Cavaliers, you think they're not going to do whatever.
But you know what though? If it's 1 year, I don't think the Cavs do that.
But like that's the thing. He may try to ease himself into a position staying as the coach.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like
that would be the ultimate if LeBron James really made that happen.
Because we don't really have like player coaches. He's kind of a player coach in a lot of ways, anyway. Yeah.
I think the Cavs make sense. If you look at the actual odds, there are next team odds for LeBron. It's the Lakers or retirement is like the heavy co-favorite, essentially.
Sure.
And then after that, it's the Cavs, and then it's the Warriors. And
I don't see him going to play with Steph.
And I know they've talked about wanting to do that, but
especially
if really,
Draymond's still there, I just don't see that.
I just don't see that either. I think that's more of a pipe dream, and it looks a lot worse. To finish with the Lakers, fine. To go back to Cleveland, fine. To go to the Warriors, then it's another random team, and it just feels so empty at that point. And I think he cares about that stuff too much. I don't think he goes to Golden State, though it would be fun to watch him and Steph play together.
Do you think if the Knicks end up losing in the finals, he tries to go to New York?
I mean,
he'd love a major market like that.
Yeah, I think the Knicks are done with that. I really do. They've got enough things to think about. Karl Anthony Towns and an extension or what that's going to look like. Mitchell Robinson might get poached this offseason. I mean, do you keep the rest of this team together the way that it is? And again, it depends on how the Knicks actually do the rest of the playoffs. But no, I think the ship has sailed. Look, you're getting a year out of LeBron. That's all that it is. So the question is, where could he go for a year? One more year. The Lakers are the first choice. But again, we have had more reports and stories coming out about dissatisfaction with the Lakers. Look, he's been there 8 years. It's hard to believe. LeBron James has been with the Lakers for 8 years now. And if you believe that it is true that, you know, and I know the Lakers got sold and everything now, but yeah, that there was all this discontent within the organization and that like they weren't getting enough credit and he wants more credit. And then there's just so much ego to go around there. It kind of almost feels like that book is closed. I really just think it's Cleveland I do think there is a chance of Golden State, even though I don't think that's the right choice. I do think there is a chance that that is the case where it's just, hey, we want to play together for a year, ride this thing out. I don't think it's the right choice for LeBron, but
no, he's not KD in it. There's no way he's doing the I just I find that really unlikely.
Yeah. And again, that's why it only makes sense. Really, Cleveland makes the most sense to me. And again, financially, it doesn't because their roster is stuffed with big contracts. But James Harden's going to be a free agent, and maybe LeBron takes like I mean, he can't take. I mean, again, you could still give him $40 million. He'd give you $40 million worth of basketball, even if it's 60 games like he played this year. He still averaged 21 points a game. I mean, you know, this again, the way these guys are getting paid. It's just not many places that make sense anymore. He's just not going to go to another random team. Is he going to go play for Charlotte? I mean, that just makes no sense.
What about, say, if the Spurs lose in the final in the West
no,
Finals?
You think that's not how that organization does business, man.
No,
they
you're
wouldn't
right,
do
you're
it.
Right.
And so that's what I mean. Like, what? So really, how many teams are there legitimately for him to go to where it actually makes sense?
I bet Boston is fuming right now, so maybe Boston?
Wouldn't that be funny if he played for the Celtics?
I honestly think they're more in the market for somebody like AD, so...
Yeah, well, they wanted him years ago. That's what Danny Ainge was stockpiling all the draft picks for.
Yeah, and also, I mean, they had no answer for Embiid.
No, they had nothing. They need a big, desperately. The Celtics desperately need a big, a guy that can actually defend. I mean, maybe a Mitchell Robinson is somebody they go after. He fouls a lot, but at least you'd have a rim protector because then the Knicks might lose him this offseason. And, you know, it's, again, it's just hard to find a fit for somebody like LeBron that you know is going to get a season out of it.
Do you think he could be the second star with Ant-Man?
Oh, that'd be fun to watch in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron in Minnesota with Anthony Edwards.
That's a lot of ego, though.
That's a lot of ego. It's a lot of ego. But at least, like, for Anthony Edwards, he's the guy on the rise, and LeBron James is the guy at the very end. But, again, if you're the Timberwolves, you got to have something that's more long-term. It can't just be about LeBron for a year. LeBron for a year is just selling tickets. That's all that it is. It's basically a circus. That's all that it would be. Cleveland, it makes more sense because of the ties and the history there, for obvious reasons. Staying with the Lakers makes sense. It's already solidified there. You figure it out, do it for a year. Golden State would just literally be them doing it for the hell of it. And I don't know what else Golden State does this offseason, but they're going to be aggressive because you're going to extend Steph. You signed Steve Kerr to, what, a two-year deal. So there's about a two-year window for the Warriors to make this thing work in whatever way they can. Problem is, you got to deal with the Thunder and Spurs in the West. So you're not getting through them. Like, what are the Warriors going to do? You add LeBron and then you trade for Giannis? How does that work? I don't know how they would, you know what I mean?
You know how many roster spots you'd have so you can put Bronny on the team and Giannis's brother?
Yeah, that's like, true. You're right. You would have to have Bronny and then you'd have both of Giannis's brothers. So that's three roster spots right there. So they'd already be down three spots and those guys would never get in the game.
Bench depth.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, LeBron's played on a lot of teams that have had a lack of depth because they've been so top heavy over the years. I just don't know. Yeah, Cleveland is the only thing that really makes sense to me. I mean, it's fun to think Wizards, but it would have to be Wizards with literally no... I mean, you just absorb his contract, you know, whatever the deal is for a year. You're not obviously trading anybody. There's no sign-and-trade even. There's no nothing. It's LeBron, that's tough, man. It's tough, but I think there should be one more year, and I think it's one more year with him. Just like Ovi, I think, has one more year. So maybe LeBron could play for the Caps. How about that? Just switch to hockey. Imagine LeBron on skates. Just no. It's
I mean, I don't know if he knows how to skate, but
I don't know if he
shape,
does.
Man.
I don't know if he does. So we'll see. I don't think at this point LeBron of the Wizards is actually going to happen. But it's fun to think about. It's definitely fun to think about. Nick Ashew on the fan. Nick Ashew on the fan. It would be fun to see LeBron James and AJ DeBonta out there playing together, though. Or LeBron James and Darren Peterson. I saw a bunch of DeBonta highlights during the break, and I'm just still thinking about it. I mean, look, either one of these guys could be the number one overall pick, and nobody's going to blame the Wizards for taking either. But you have to think about where this team is going moving forward. And look, we still have the questions as to whether or not Anthony Davis is going to be part of this roster. I mean, we know he does not want to be there. Even with the number one overall pick, he's still somebody that wants to be with a team that's trying to win now. But here's the question. If you're the Wizards... and you're Anthony Davis, and you have conversations about the future. And Anthony Davis is like, look, I want to play for a contender. I want to play for a team that's actually trying to win a title now. I don't have many years left in this league, and I've dealt with injuries, and I really just want to go to a team that's looking to win a title. The Wizards are trending up. The Wizards should be a playoff team next year, but they're not a title contender next year. That's okay. That's the next step in their evolution. But if you're Anthony Davis, and you sit down with Michael Winger and Will Dawkins, and you're like, look, guys, I just need to be with a team that's, you know, farther along. I'm at towards that point in my career. He's, what, 33, 34, whatever it is now, dealing with some injuries, and it's going to be a thing. So that's fine. He's made it clear that that's certainly what he's looking for. He said it publicly. I'm sure he said it privately. But if you're the Wizards, do you sit across that table and look at Anthony Davis and say, okay, what teams then? What team Could Anthony Davis get traded to next year that has a legit shot at winning a title? The Thunder? The Spurs? I'm not even ready to say the Knicks yet. I'm not ready to say any team besides the Thunder and Spurs, because the titles are going to be going through those two teams for the foreseeable future until somebody shows otherwise. Now, could the Nuggets get aggressive this offseason and pair Anthony Davis with Nikola Jokic because they want to keep him happy so he doesn't ask for a trade? Could the Timberwolves want to make Anthony Edwards happy and trade for Anthony Davis, and that's part of the deal? They could. Do either one of those teams have enough in terms of the depth and the talent and the, you know, the youth to also make it through an entire NBA season healthy? Because we know Anthony Davis is going to miss time. Do any of those teams have the ability to still match up even then with the Thunder or with the Spurs? So it's great to have the idea. It's great to have the thought of like, yeah, I just really want to play for a contender. But let's say it out loud, Anthony Davis. Where is that going to be? Because the Spurs and Thunder aren't trading for Anthony Davis. Why would you? Why would you break up even if they were giving up first-round picks that were 5 years down the road? First off, if you're the Wizards, why are you taking that? Because the Spurs and Thunder could still be really good 5 years from now. Why would those teams break up the roster that they have that both are title contenders for the foreseeable future for Anthony Davis? And you can make the argument, well, you know, if you're the Thunder, Chet Holmgren deals with a lot of injuries. Okay, so why would you trade Chet Holmgren for Anthony Davis, right? Like, just as a hypothetical. Anthony Davis is older, has dealt with more injuries. Again, AD is one of the best bigs in the NBA when he's healthy, but we're getting past the point now where that even becomes a statement, because he's going to get older, and it's going to get harder to even put him in that statement when he's at his best. We may even be past that point. Now, don't get me wrong. Anthony Davis has trade value. But this threading the needle of, like, you got to get to a title contender, there's two in the NBA. That's it. They're playing each other in the Western Conference Finals Monday. That's it. It's the Spurs and it's the Thunder. There's nobody else. I mean, what, the Cavs? Good luck. Timberwolves? No, they're not getting through there in the West. You could argue at least a team that could get to the finals, so then Anthony Davis needs to stay in the East. Well, where's that? The Knicks? Knicks aren't making that trade. They'd rather have Karl Anthony Towns, and he's younger, and he's going to play more. Okay, so not the Knicks. Pistons? Maybe. Maybe Detroit? But what's Detroit giving up and giving back to the Wizards? All right. The Magic? I don't think they're doing that. The Magic are much more in on Giannis. And I know this for a fact, that the Magic absolutely want to be in on Giannis this offseason. I mean, what is the team? Maybe the Celtics. Like, that might be the only team in the East that you could look at, because they need a big. They had nobody that could stop Joel Embiid. That's why they blew that 3-1 lead. Maybe it's Anthony Davis to the Celtics. But here's the thing. AD didn't want to play there last time they were trying to trade for him because he wasn't going to sign an extension. So what does that mean this time around? I mean, yeah, there's a couple of years left on his deal, so he can't really say anything. And he'd probably look at it and say, young Wizards team or Celtics team ready to win a title. That's probably it. Like, that's the only team in the East that you could look at next year and say, Boston's probably better with a full season of Jason Tatum back fully healthy. And then what do they give up in return with the Wizards? I mean, that's the only trade that probably makes sense besides the two teams in the West that are playing each other in the Western Conference Finals starting this week. And that's it. If you're looking at a title contender. So it's easy to play that game, but, you know, the Wizards have to stay the course. You got to stay with what you're doing, because what you've built in terms of the young talent and the ability to build around that is going to give you the brightest future. It's why I'd love to see them trade down one spot. No more than one spot, though. One spot. So if you're going to play the game all day with Danny Ainge and the Jazz and make them really think you want A.J. Tabanza enough where they're willing to trade up and give you Ace Bailey and the number two pick and a future first, okay. Fine, but make that future first years down the road. Honestly, you don't want it right away. You want it years down the road in hopes that the Jazz regress, right? Like, you got to start thinking longer term if you're the Wizards, just like the Thunder did. Remember, Will Dawkins and Michael Winger see and know and are familiar with what the Thunder have done and how they've built and what they've done with picks and all of that. I mean, we can just see the evidence. You don't even have to be part of the organization to know exactly how that works. So they're thinking about this. The question just becomes, is Danny Ainge willing to make that trade? Are the Wizards going to be in a position where they can actually get more for that number one overall pick? Because if you have Darren Peterson or A.J. Tabanza, you're in a good spot. It really comes down to who you think has higher upside. Don't think about who fits on the roster now. It doesn't matter. Don't think about any of that. Just think about who has more upside. And if it's Darren Peterson, and you can trade down a spot and get more and get him. You make that trade in a second. And then you trade Trae Young by the deadline. Seriously, because he's going to be up for a big deal. Why are you signing to an extension? Darren Peterson, play the one in the NBA. You got plenty of guards. You don't need Trae Young, and you build that way. Yeah, you're going to want some veterans. You're going to want some other guys. That's how you go moving forward. That's what the Wizards would have to do. I just don't think Anthony Davis is going to be a part of this team. And I still question whether Trae Young's going to be a long-term vision for it, too. Definitely see what happens in the draft. It depends on who the Wizards draft, and then they're going to evaluate. They're going to evaluate what Trae Young looks like with this team. And I would just point you to this. Go look at how much better the Hawks were after they traded Trae Young. I'm just saying. Nick Ashew on the Fan. We know the NFL wants to market the Commanders and Jaden Daniels as much as they can, right? We saw it after his rookie year. We saw all the standalone and primetime games last year that completely backfired for obvious reasons because nobody played for the Commanders last season. But you still got four primetime games now with the schedule plus the London game, so that's five standalone games. And on top of that, I know the NFL has a part in this, but it's not solely it. I mean, there's a lot of hoops you got to jump through. But you're going to have Jaden Daniels on season three of Quarterback that's on Netflix. It comes out in July, so it's going to go back to last season. I mean, look, this is going back to, you know, last year. So we're talking Joe Flacco getting traded midseason. You'll have that in there. Baker Mayfield in the 6-2 start, MVP candidate, to them falling to 8-9 in Tampa. Cam Ward, rough rookie season that's there. And Jaden Daniels, a part of this. I want to watch it because Jaden Daniels is involved with it. I got to be honest with you. Besides that, not that interesting. Season one, pretty cool. Season two, felt stale. Kind of the same guys, more Kirk Cousins. Listen, I love Kirk. I know not everybody in the city does. For some reason, there's this weird venom with him. I don't get it. The guy was one of the best quarterbacks this organization has had for a long, long time. Guy's gotten paid a ton of money for winning nothing in the playoffs. And you know what? Good for him. I applaud that because he markets himself like crazy. Is he vanilla and kind of boring and kind of corny? Yeah. He's also good dude, good family guy, good quarterback. So, like, I've had nothing but love for Kirk Cousins. Would I have liked to have seen him here long-term and then maybe Jaden after that? Sure, it would have never worked out that way, but you get the idea. But it's just a lot of these shows, it's like Hard Knocks. They start to wear out their welcome with an audience, right? It's why they've now had the spinoffs of Hard Knocks, where you've got the off-season and the in-season. It just gets to a point where it's a lot, and it's just kind of the same stuff because some players will want to be right in front of the camera, and they're interesting, and they're funny, and their personalities, and there's stories that go on. And sometimes it's just the same old thing we've seen a million times. Guy gets cut in camp, fun player, but doesn't really make the team. One or two bits of drama, somebody's hurt. Oh, we drum it up a little bit and make it more exciting. Now, don't get me wrong. This stuff's going to continue. These documentaries, reality shows with sports, like, there's only going to be more of this. Sports content in general, it's only going to be more. There was a point where Netflix was like, yeah, we're not into sports. We're just into people binging shows. And then they started looking around going, this sports thing's kind of a big deal. And they tried a little F1 documentary and then a couple other little things. And then they realized, yeah, we should get into the sports thing. It's kind of a big deal. But other than Jaden Daniels, Baker Mayfield, Cam Ward, Joe Flacco, I don't know. I mean, Baker Mayfield's funny in commercials. I think he'd actually be a great actor once he retires. And I like Baker Mayfield. I root for him. I think it's great the way he's kind of turned his career around after going through, you know, Cleveland at the end and then Carolina, which is a disaster, and then out of nowhere with the Rams on that Thursday night game. So it's like, it's a good story, but I don't know. Cam Ward, boring. Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's boring. Like, really. Seems like a good dude, but, like, boring.
Doesn't he own a Batmobile?
He does, doesn't he?
How do you own a Batmobile and still be boring?
Well, like, have you seen him in interviews? Again, like,
no, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, like, how do you do that?
I know. Well, you know, you can be boring in personality, but have, like, a dry sense of humor, and that's kind of what he's got. But it's, like, kind of more on, like, your actions and, like, how you subtly do things that's funny versus, you know, sometimes people are unintentionally funny. I feel like that's kind of who he is. Like, I'll never forget when Joe Flacco was, it was when he got traded to, yeah, it was when he got traded mid-season last year. He talked about going to, like, a bar and eating dinner by himself. And he was like, you know, I've always thought that was, like, sad for people. And then I spent a little time without my kids for a while, and I kind of get it. And it was, like, it was subtly funny, right? But I just, like, is that going to carry enough of a show that it's really interesting? I just think it's tough to do these shows because you have to have some level of personality there too. Yes, part of it is the story. Part of it is the, you know, the struggle or the 6-2 start for Tampa and falling to 8-9 and Cam Ward and a struggling rookie season. Like, it's interesting. I think it was better off when they did receiver. And I know they also had like George Kittle, a tight end, same thing. Did you watch that at all, Metal Chris?
No.
Okay, that was good. I think that was better. With Justin Jefferson, he was in it. Debo was in it. I loved that. I think that was better than quarterback. Now, first season of quarterback was good. You had Patrick Mahomes, and now I think his production company was part of it. So you add him to the mix, and maybe he can kind of help make it. But, I mean, does he have that much of a production background, or it's just he started a production company, and you hire people that can handle that stuff? I mean, it's really what it is. So, I don't know. It just, to me, I'm only really interested in it because Jaden Daniels is going to be in it. I'll watch it. It's middle of July, too. It's good because it's, what, we'll have training camps kind of getting started maybe for some teams. Most still won't be. It's the dead middle of summer.
Didn't you say the same thing about the flag football thing?
What?
I'm only going to watch it because Jaden Daniels is involved.
Me? No, I didn't say that about – no, I just said that Jaden Daniels, I wasn't worried that he was involved at all. People were, like, panicking that he was going to get hurt. I was like, this is the same as a workout. It's really not
– No, I remember that as well.
Yeah, yeah. No, I never said that I wouldn't – I don't think. I mean, maybe I did and I forgot, but, like, I was – I the flag football thing's cool. It's growing and it's fine. But, you know, look, there's just only so much of this and of this that you can consume. There's a certain point where it's just everybody's trying to dabble in it, and it's like, okay, is it what makes it different and interesting? And if it's going to be the same format of like a documentary following players around, there has to be something interesting within the show, and what is it? Is it a personality? Is it a player? Is it a big story? It might be Joe Flacco getting traded, but that's an episode. So we'll see what that looks like. It'll be interesting to see what it looks like with him getting traded midseason. Ah, that's it. It just doesn't. I think you get bigger personalities with receivers. I think they should go back to receiver. I know quarterbacks are the stars in the NFL, but they're not always the biggest personality. Give me receiver with, like, George Pickens in it, and who else? Who else would be a big-name receiver? I'd take Justin Jefferson back again. George Pickens, Justin Jefferson, I'd go with those two to start. I'd go with Kittle again. Kittle's hilarious. I'm down for goofy Kittle. I think that's good.
Maybe Neighbors?
Malik Neighbors would be good. Okay, so there's another one. We've already made a better show here. See, you and I in 2 seconds have already made a better show than this season of quarterback. I'm just saying. But yeah, I mean, George Pickens is a crazy person, but I would love to watch the cameras on him. George Pickens in this season with the Cowboys as they sit and have to decide on what his long-term deal looks like or if he's going to get one or if he's not going to get one. Or, oh, give me that. That I'm watching every episode for. Nick Ashew on the Fan.